Welcome to the Gifts Compass podcast. My name is Nicholas Toko and I'm an organizational effectiveness consultant and currently training as a Jungian analyst in Zurich, Switzerland. I'm from London in the UK and my family origins are from Uganda in East Africa.
My name is James Johnston. I'm the author of the book Jung's Indispensable Compass and the lead architect for the Gifts Compass inventory. I live in the United States, currently in Northwest Ohio.
My name is Annelise Lannes-Sais. I am a self-awareness and mental fitness coach, and I work with individuals wanting to add more meaning and enjoyment to their life. I am from Estonia and currently living in Geneva, Switzerland.
This podcast is about the Gifts Compass Inventory, or GCI. The GCI offers a fresh approach to Swiss psychologist Carl Jung's original eight psychological types. The well-validated and broadly acclaimed Gifts Compass Inventory focuses on the personal growth and development of unique individuals. We are so excited to share our understanding of type with you. We're passionate about type and our aim is to help you understand type, how to use type to better understand yourself, to have better relationships at home, in a social setting, or in the workplace.
This podcast, along with the next three, we'll consider Jung's four functions and their attributes when either introverted or extroverted. When the four functions are modified by either introversion or extroversion, they form the eight types. As you will hear, each of the four functions is dramatically transformed when either introverted or extroverted. In some cases, the introverted function bears very little resemblance to the extroverted function, even though it is the same base function.
Let's talk about intuition.
Yeah, intuition.
Sounds irrational, often described as irrational.
Yeah, I'd like to think it was receptive rather than irrational. Kind of tells you what it's not. So this is not rational. Although intuition seems to have its own rationality. Jung said of intuition, it's the noblest gift of mankind. So intuition is a very special mode of experiencing life. It's experiencing the invisible in a way. And it can see possibilities. And people who have intuition in a significant way see possibilities that other people just don't see. If they're, you know, if they're well grounded in fact, they're not going to see the possibilities that are available to intuition. And intuition, like the other gifts, it changes markedly depending on whether it's introverted or extroverted. When it's introverted, you know, it's a deep vision of possibilities, big scale, long-term possibilities. Jung said of introverted intuition, if it hadn't been for that gift or that type, there would have been no prophets in Israel. They virtually see the future, you know, as it actually may occur, as it may come to pass.
And which is why I always think it's, you know, I think that's why people often describe it as irrational, because they're right. They've got this uncanny ability to see round corners.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to an extroverted thinking type will be completely illogical.
Yeah.
What makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You see a picture of what's to come.
Yeah.
And when it's introverted, it's a very big picture. Very big, you know, a picture that could include the next 100 years sometimes. I mean, that's how big the view of life is. It's also highly imaginative. And Jung said that artists are among the people who, you know, carry introverted intuition in a big way. But very creative, very imaginative, connecting dots to create a whole picture. You know, they can connect three dots to see. You give them three pieces of information and they'll create the whole picture from it, just from their imagination. So imagination is huge for them. I think it was Einstein who said imagination is everything. So he had introverted intuition in a big way. It's highly conceptual, highly imaginary. You know, his thought experiments were all imagined. They were all introverted intuition at work, creating a scenario. Like, you know, one of his scenarios, what would it be like if an elevator was moving at the speed of light and a hole was punched in the wall of the elevator? What would light do inside that elevator? So he was imagining all that, you know, and then out of that, he would you know, then begin to apply his introverted thinking to begin to make sense of it and figure it out. But, you know, huge imagination and delights in imaginative thinking. It's almost dreamlike in a way, introverted intuition. It's like having your own personal movie theater at work constantly, minute to minute.
James, can I ask you a question? So you're an architect most of your career.
Well, some of my career.
For some of your
small,
career.
Small piece of it, yeah.
Was discovering the GCI yourself, do you think that was an example of extra intuition, where you had a vision of where this could go, the book, your description of all the attributes of Jung's eight functions? Is that an example of extroverted intuition?
Yes, I would say extroverted intuition is the entrepreneur's gift. So it's not as big picture as introverted intuition. It sees possibilities in the world. It can see possibilities 3, 4, 5 years down the road. It can see possibilities for a startup organization. It can see that organization and can see where it could be in 5 years. And it actually has the vision of where it would be in 5 years.
Yeah.
So yes, starting Gifts Compass and Life Atlas, those are exercises of extroverted intuition where you see a possibility for what could add value in the world, what could be successful in the world. And then you have tremendous energy to make that possibility real. It's not just seeing the possibility, but then making it real. So on the extroverted side, we call that catalytic intuition. And the extroverted intuition can be a catalyst for tremendous activity moving in a certain direction that is seizing the possibility that's been seen by the person with extroverted intuition.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody recently who had extroverted intuition in the lead. You know, these are gifts that are with us from very early on. And I was telling him that he can see possibilities for companies like the company that he's associated with, which is a startup company. He can see that company 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And he just turned to me and he said, can't everybody do that? Can't anybody see that? You know, he's so used to it. It's like water to a fish.
And it's not just companies, but it's people, situations.
You can see the potential in people.
Yes.
With extroverted intuition, you can see the potential in organizations, you know, as an organization development consultant, you can see the potential for that organization and help them move towards what you see for them.
Yeah. I've always thought teachers with extroverted intuition can be really great. You always remember that teacher who just kind of knew what you were good at and really encouraged you and motivated you to achieve that vision. I've always got a feeling that those were individuals with extroverted intuition. They just had a sense of my potential in something, and I nurtured it. And at the time, I had no idea. I was like, "Well, okay, let's try this out." But they were absolutely right.
Yeah, they see the potential in you and seek to nurture.
Yeah.
So I think what they're bringing is both the feeling side and that extroverted intuition. So they empathize with you, they see value in you, and they see your future potential. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of those teachers had a lot of introverted feeling, you know, the great desire to live a meaningful life and to do something valuable for others. And here you are, an individual in whom they can see tremendous potential. So they invest, you know, they invest in you and you can feel it. You can feel their attention and really their love for who you are, who you could be.
How about that introverted intuition? How would you, would it be just imagining random things, or how would it manifest in life in a way, it's introverted intuition?
Yeah, it's, and part of the difficulty is it doesn't manifest in life very much, you know, in terms of external appearances. Anyone who is engaged with experiencing introverted intuition is just quiet. You know, they're just, you can't see anything going on, even though there's a tremendous vision that they're experiencing inwardly. No one sees that from the outside. It just looks like somebody's sitting there, you know.
They're like that in their own movie theater.
Yeah, they have
their own TV screen.
They have their own personal movie theater. And so they're having two conversations at the same time. I mean, that movie theater is always playing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can be having a conversation with them and they can be having a conversation with you, but it's like they're having two conversations simultaneously because they're also watching that movie, you know? So especially with people with introverted intuition, a strongly developed, highly developed way, or is it speaking to them in a significant way? You can sometimes feel like, or they will frequently sort of lose track of the conversation they're in, especially in groups. You know, you can sort of watch them go off or sense that they've gone off. And when they come back to the conversation, they sort of lost the thread and they're trying to pick it up, but they'll usually say something that has already been said, or so it's pretty obvious that they just went somewhere else and then they came back again. But that imagination, that inner imagination, it just doesn't stop, and it will hook them and it will take them. But, you know, writers, architects, artists plays a large role in the life that they're living. I'm thinking of J.K. Rowling as an example, you know, huge yes. imagination. So when she writes the books of Harry Potter, she's just following her imagination in a way that the book is writing itself in a way. She's just letting the imagination roll and let it develop and watching as that story develops. I remember as an architect, I think I was telling you earlier on the lease that some of the best designs I did as an architect were when the pencil was moving itself, but when I stepped out of the way and let, you know, let the intuition do the drawing for me. So it's a kind of magical connection. You're not quite sure what you're being connected to, but there's something real there. And I like, we'll talk about extroverted sensation in a minute, which is very down to earth and very concrete, but someone who's completely oriented to extroverted sensation would say of introverted intuition, that's, you know, that visionary intuition, that's all fantasy that you're doing. It's all imagination. It's not real. Not real. And the response from people who know that side of life, the introverted side of life, they will say, you know, what you're dealing with out there, the concrete reality, that might be real. But what I'm experiencing in here, this is more real than real. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how profound it is for them. They're connected to a sense of reality that feels so significant that it feels much more real and significant than what, you know, the concrete, tangible world appears to be.
Yes. It almost feels insignificant, the concrete world.
It does, yeah, because the other is so alive, yeah. And yeah. So rich.
Yeah.
I've always, looking into intuition from the perspective where it's, again, not a preferred function. I certainly can have intuition, but it feels very fragmented. I'll have these images, visions, imagination, but they'll be very brief. I don't follow them through, so I can imagine intuition follows it right through the storyline that's in their inner world. I don't follow it through, at some point it stops, and then that's it. It's quite fragmented.
And you
kind of join the dots, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for introverted intuition, it's they see the whole picture, they see the whole story, you know, and then it's a matter of playing it out.
But you were saying before, getting distracted when you're in a conversation.
Yeah.
Then, for me, introverted intuition is my second. But I don't know exactly, you know, it's hard to say how it is playing out, because it's so much part of me, right? But it is true that I get so easily distracted, like something, like, you know, maybe it's a conversation and then a thought comes out of it that takes me to a different trail, and here I go wander off to a totally different world, and then exactly I don't know what they were saying.
Yeah.
And I don't dare to even say anything
yeah.
anymore because I'll miss the significant portion. So it is like challenging, but it's also very interesting too.
Yeah.
And we're talking earlier with Jane, I have the same thing with my hand, but I don't do it, you know, with drawing, but with writing is, I have this, you know, I love so sometimes writing. It's sort of like being in touch with my imaginary world. And I don't even know what I'm going to write. I just start, and just like the pen just starts writing something for me. That's how it feels. I'm so surprised sometimes, like, wow, I was planning to just, you know, write, like start like venting to my journal, but actually no venting came out. Something totally different, and it is surprising.
Is it future oriented, or what you write down?
I think it is very future oriented.
Related to you rather than the world, that what you're sort of envisioning, is it more specific to you?
For me, it can be any, it can be either. Like it's, yes, many times it is, you know, I am in that picture, but then I can go off and, you know, I love this, you know, imaginary exercises like we have to do once for the organization I work for. We have to write where it is in 10 years. I was just, wow, this is so interesting. Start to visualize. And actually, one thing that I wrote into that visualization became true already. I had no idea. I just started to work for this organization. I just went through, I just let it run wild because I had no idea. Didn't know the organization well enough to write some factual things that could actually become true. So I just went through the intuition. And yeah, it works magic.
Yeah, it feels like magic.
Yes.
It's a stream. It's a stream of imagination. It just sort of runs free.
Yeah, and I think it's like allowing, you know, trusting it. I think that is the hardest part because it's, I think it's very magical how much truth there is that comes out of that introverted intuition, like wisdom. I was just imagining that it's like it's your higher self sort of talking to you, and you can just get all everything.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to describe it, because I was thinking earlier that I'd imagine people with introverted intuition, there's a truth to what they're getting from that function, that it's real and it's, and they see the benefit of it. Whereas an extra, someone with preference or extroversion won't have that, necessarily understand that, that sort of idea of truth, personal truth and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
They'll seek it out here. They'll seek truth mm-hmm. out here.
Yeah, in the world. Truth has already been established.
Yes.
And introverted intuition will introduce the new truth.
Yeah.
You know, the original truth, the prophetic truth, that's the truth to come next.
Yes.
The Jung said of those images that, to which introverted intuition is oriented, he said these are eternal images. This is like, you know, an orientation to the Tao or to the Logos in a way. It has a deep sense of connection to what is true, good, and beautiful in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's extroverted thinking, I think, will look for the truth out here.
For sure.
In different places. And
The established truth.
Yeah, and you are a little like, you, I feel extrovert intuition is more in touch with the current reality versus the introverted intuition is in touch with the future reality. So it's, and it can be in a way feel out of touch with this reality that happens right now, and to bring these two together, it's very hard because for the extroverted world, you need to start bringing some proof and etc. And it's difficult, even though you already see that, you know, this is, we need to go there, but you have to then start to find, spend your time finding the reasons why you need to go there to explain to them.
Right.
It feels like a waste of time. We are in a rush. Hurry, we just need to go, trust me, but you need to make them trust you.
Yes, because those visions, they come with a sense of certainty.
Yes.
You know, you see, you've seen a vision and you're certain that's the way to go, but you have to bring people along, you know, then now you've got to lay out all the facts and the reasons for it. But
yes,
introverted intuition gives you the picture and you know when you see it, that's the way. It's like what somebody said, the introverted intuition sees the answer before they know what the question is. It's like it gets a vision of future possibility that is an answer to a question, and it's a matter of finding out what that question was. But it's presented on that, you know, that inner screen that is the inner movie theater. Extroverted intuition sees a vision too, but it's usually grounded in the facts of the world.
Yeah,
this is the way things are. I can see a possibility, given the way things are. This could be, you know, a tremendous contribution or a tremendous value from the current circumstances. Visionary intuition has a tendency to see in, you know, 100-year clips.
Yeah.
It sees a much greater horizon than panorama.
I sometimes feel like I gave away so much of my own wisdom to organizations and corporations.
No.
I can see potential in my clients, i.e. these corporations, organizations. And I worked for many years trying to help organizations transform or improve. And so I gave away a lot of wisdom, but I never applied that wisdom to myself until midway through my career. So I gave away a lot of my own wisdom to companies. They're now thriving. It took me a while to apply that wisdom to myself and to start to say, actually, what's my vision for myself? How do I want to improve myself? And that's when intuition came into my life. I began to think, well, what's my vision for my life? What do I want to do? Because I could imagine so much success for many of my clients. And with extrovert sensation, I'm going to execute and think it through extrovert thinking. And I did that for many years. Now I'm a lot more discerning about which company I work for. It's more discerning, so I don't give my wisdom away.
Nice to learn from your own wisdom and
apply
in your own life.
And, absolutely.
Well, you bring up extroverted sensation, which is the diametric opposite of this visionary intuition that we've been talking about, but also a beautiful gift and so needed to, you know, to live the human experience and so well grounded in life, you know, grounded in what's actually concretely present.
Yes.
And so fun-loving. Extroverted sensation. Sensation itself is supposed to be oriented to perceiving the world, but extroverted sensation just thrives in the sensuous experience of life in the world.
Yeah, someone with preference for extroverted sensation. I'm really thinking about what we can do after this podcast. Have fun.
Yeah.
That's really where my head's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go here, we can do this.
Yeah.
But it's all centered around fun.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the best way to describe extroverted sensation is you're not thinking of the past,